We're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports. Now, here's your host, Matt Kolsky.
Come on!
Hello and a happy pre-dawn to everybody. It is a very, very happy pre-dawn today. We talked a lot about Boogie. Was that yesterday? Whenever it was that we first heard January 18th might be the return day. Yesterday was the big talky day for Boogie. Boogie talked. Steve Kerr talked. And we also got Steve Kerr with Damon Bruce talking Boogie. So lots of Boogie sound to get to later in the day. I continue to be very, very excited about the return of DeMarcus Cousins. So excited that I added a third Boogie drop to my Boogie drop collection. Don't look at me like that, Steven. I can add drops when you're not around. And those of you who listen know that the original Boogie drop was the first thing I always think of when someone says Boogie, which is the Sugar Hill Gang. Then a texter, a valued, cherished texter, whose name I do not know, suggested this.
Get your boogie on.
Very good Boogie drop. But the thing is, when I think Boogie in a basketball context, I actually think of something completely different. And now for something completely different. Different completely, something for now and. Apparently I'm the only Monty Python fan in the house. Anyway.
Oh, no, I got that.
Oh, okay. All right. You looked at me, you gave me kind of a weird look.
I'm English, Kolsky.
That's right. I was going to say your father would be disappointed in you. If anyone should know Monty Python, it's a young, nice guy, Steven, with his English roots. But no, I think of Jalen Rose, because every time DeMarcus Cousins comes up, Jalen Rose does one thing.
Boogie!
It might be the best one.
That's really good.
Because that's how I feel. That's how I feel about the return of DeMarcus Cousins.
Boogie!
Woo! It's going to be great.
Wait, when did he say that?
Jalen?
Yeah.
Every time Boogie comes up on a podcast or anything, he does that.
Really?
He does that all the time. Yes. Jalen Rose, national treasure. Figure it out, world. Jalen Rose, as good as it gets.
Boogie!
So, more Boogie later in the program. As you know, it is a Friday. I mean, I hope you know it's a Friday. If not, happy to be the one who informs you. Welcome to Friday, the working week, nearly over. And that means for this show, we do one thing.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
We will have pop quiz action. As I explained last week, the way we're handling the pop quiz in the playoffs is, well, first thing is, the top eight from the regular season are eligible for the big prize. Big prize. I'm in direct communication with our prize guru over here at 95.7 The Game, Tony. And by direct communication, I mean I have sent at least one email in his direction. But don't worry. Prizes are coming. I guarantee prizes. If I have to go buy you something at Walgreens myself, there will be prizes. In any event, the big prize, only available to the top eight from our regular season pop quiz, but the rest of you still competing for other prizes. Well, other prize. Top eight get most of the prizes. The top four of the top eight. The rest of you, there's something out there for you too. But these first 2 weeks of the playoffs, all we're doing is picking winners. No spreads, no weird questions from me, just picking winners. So if you want to get in on the pop quiz, first of all, I should remind you who the top eight are. Let's see. Now I have to find it. One of our top eight missed week one of the playoffs. Sad story. Did we figure out who that is, Steven?
I am still in the works on figuring that out. But in our leaderboard right now, there are three who guessed, who picked three correct games.
Wow. By the way, yeah, Steven was 2-2. I was a paltry 1-3. Shame on me.
Two of which at the top of the leaderboard are, how can I explain this without saying so many numbers? Two of which are one of the eight. Or
two
are
of
the
which
eight. Are the eight.
Are the eight. So, for our top eight leaderboard, who are the two leaders?
Chris in Oakland and Alberto in San Leandro.
Ooh, Berto SL.
And
stepping up.
Gary the Uber driver is the token leader guy.
Okay, so for the prize for the rest of you, Gary the Uber driver in the lead. But look, that's only three. You can catch him. You got time. And it's not going to be straight picks the whole way. Straight picks last week, straight picks this week, and then we're back to my goofy questions starting next week. But all I need from you is the winner of each game. So, for instance, I am going to be picking the AFC underdogs and the NFC favorites. So my text would say Colts, Rams, Chargers, Saints. And then my handle, and then I'd be done. Big B wants me to throw a Backyard Boogie by Mac 10 into my Boogie Drops collection. It's not that easy, you know? Things have to be vetted. More Boogie later. Quickly on each of these games, I do have sort of a fundamental question.
Get your Boogie on his Backyard Boogie.
Oh, that is Backyard
Boogie.
Yeah,
so you're all good.
Okay. See, I don't even know what that's from. That's Mac 10, huh? All right. Well, Steven's on top of it. I wonder if Big B was the one who suggested Mac 10 in the first place, and then I just forgot both that it was him and that it was Mac 10. In any event, the Colts Chiefs, to me, the big question is the difference in these two defenses as big as the difference between the offenses? Because all we're going to hear about all week is offense. All we've heard about all week is offense. Obviously, for good reason. The Chiefs' offense is one of the best we've seen in a long time. The Colts' offense, over the last few weeks, has looked strangely, not explosive, but incredibly effective. And as a result, they've sort of climbed up all the rankings over the last several weeks. Andrew Luck playing great football, but not quite as good as Patrick Mahomes. Right? I mean, T.Y. Hilton is a beast, but not quite as beastly as Tyreek Hill has been. Eric Ebron, high-level tight end, but not quite as high-level as Travis Kelce. So a lot of it, you look at the matchup, and I think it's in our nature in the offensive NFL to look at the offense and say, well, the Chiefs are the best, and the Colts just aren't quite as good. But the question for who wins the game to me actually comes down more to the defenses, because both of these offenses can thrive consistently against bad defenses. Kansas City, by common conception, has a bad defense. Indy's doing much better. And if you look at how they rank overall, and when I talk about these rankings, I'm always talking about Football Outsiders DVOA, which is defense-adjusted value over average, is what it stands for. But it essentially is a weighted ranking system that takes into account how teams are playing lately and also who they played against. So when you look at defensive efficiency, the DVOA rankings, Indy, by the end of the year, climbed all the way up into the top 10 of defense. Kansas City, to their credit, climbed into the middle of the pack by getting their pass defense in order somewhat. And I think some of that probably the return of Eric Berry helps, and also the fact that they're winning a lot and putting the opposition in situations where they have to pass and the Chiefs know it's coming. That helps as well. But either way, the Chiefs' defense, not as bad as you think. The Colts' defense, though, probably better than you think. And in particular, the Colts' rush defense is number three in the league. Number four in the league by the end of the season. So if I'm trying to figure out a winner here, and the reason I'm going to pick the Colts, it's not that I doubt Kansas City's offense. really. I think it's very good. It's not necessarily about Andy Reid potentially puking on himself. It's the fact that I look at two offenses that can succeed in almost any circumstances. And so I ask the question, which of these defenses is more likely to get a stop when they need it? And Patrick Mahomes in his first playoff appearance, Andy Reid with his playoff shenanigans past, versus a Colts team that looked better than any other team playing last weekend. They were the best team last weekend, I thought. A quarterback with a little more experience and a defense that did a heck of a job against... Now, look, Deshaun Watson is no Patrick Mahomes, but he is a creative, talented offensive player. And DeAndre Hopkins, although he was apparently a little bit hurt, is still a load to deal with, and the Colts shut them down. By no means am I saying they'll shut down Kansas City, but if I look at the Colts and the Chiefs and I ask who's likely to get a stop, it's the Colts, to me. I'll get into my picks and some brief analysis of the other three games coming up in just a second here, but just as a reminder... pop quiz going on right now.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
All you got to do is give me winners. No point spreads, no weird questions, just winners from the four football games this weekend. And for those of you in our top eight, I can give those names again. Hold on now. I have to find them. But I can give you the names of the top eight again. But whether you're in the top eight or not, you're still eligible for a prize of some kind.
I got you with the seven of eight contestants that
okay,
we had.
Okay, well, who missed? Oh, you don't have that.
Know.
All right, give me the seven who are in.
Jan D.
Okay.
Carlos A. in San Jose.
Okay.
Dimitri and Antioch.
Yep.
BR Cracker.
Uh-huh.
Mike and Petaluma.
Yep.
Alberto and San Leandro, or
uh-huh.
Alberto SL,
uh-huh.
as he likes to put it. And then
Kristen
Oakland. Oakland.
So it's Daniel from Richmond. Missed his opportunity.
Daniel from Richmond.
But Daniel, you're only three back of the leaders for that giant prize. And there's only two of our top eight with three right. So you're only you're only two back from getting into the money, so to speak.
I feel like the games this week are a lot harder to pick, or a lot easier to pick, rather, than they were last week. Last week was tough, but this one, I'm in the same church as you.
Really?
When it comes, yeah, except...
AFC underdogs, NFC favorites.
Yeah, except I'm thinking about taking the Patriots instead of the Chargers. I know.
You're afraid.
I know, I am!
Are you a coward like Steven... Or are you brave like me? Are you willing to pick the Chargers to go into New England and win? I'll tell you why I am right after this. I'm Matt Kolsky. This is the pregame show.
This morning, Hall of Famer LaDainian Tomlinson chops it up with his former teammate, Lorenzo Neal. Joe and Dibs will be there too. LaDainian Tomlinson with Joe Lowe and Dibs this morning at 8 on the exclusive home of the NFL playoffs, 95.7. The Game. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Kolsky.
I am Matt Kolsky. This is the pregame show. We're presented by Golden State Lumber. Golden State Lumber with Golden Mornings at the Building Bar. Go check them out. It's a coffee meet and greet with product experts. You can find details on that and all the great Golden State Lumber products at goldenstatelumber.com. Steven, someone is angry at me for calling you a sissy. Are we not supposed to say that anymore? I try to stay pretty on top of the words I'm not supposed to say anymore. I didn't think that was one of them. There's another word that means the same thing that I don't say anymore in that context. But I was just trying to make the point that Steven is too afraid. Scaredy cat? Is that better?
That's fine with me. Either way.
Yeah,
call it smart.
You seemed okay with sissy, but whatever.
There's no right or wrong answer when it comes to that for right now.
I mean, to whether you're a coward?
To whether you can use that word or not.
Oh. Okay. I wanted to make sure I'm not transgressing. I'm not trying to offend anybody. If that word is not cool, I did not know that. But either way, Steven's a coward. My point is Steven is afraid. My point is, given the choice to be bold, Steven chooses not. That's all I'm saying.
There's only one thing that scares me.
Seattle.
That guy.
Seattle.
We're on to Seattle,
Bill
everybody.
Belichick.
Does he know they're not playing Seattle? Here's the thing.
Seattle.
Bill Belichick's terrifying. I don't want to bet against Bill Belichick, and probably worth making the point, I'm absolutely not betting on this game. That said, I'm picking the Chargers. And the question I wrote down to sort of encapsulate this game is, have the Pats been playing chicken? Because to me, that's kind of the only way they're the better team. Does that make sense? If I go by what I've seen on the field this year, the Chargers are just better. They're better in every single vein of football. They have better special teams. They have a better offense. They have a better defense. They have a better pass rush. They have better wide receivers. They have a better quarterback. I'll say it. Philip Rivers is better than Tom Brady. Now, there's no question Tom Brady's had the better career. It's not about Hall of Fame candidacy. It's not about rings. It's not about any of that. I'm asking you today, right now, if you need someone to throw a football, Philip Rivers is your guy, unless the Pats have been playing chicken in some way. And in terms of the coaching, again, I won't deny it's terrifying to bet against Bill Belichick. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that I'll take an Anthony Lynn staff over a Bill Belichick staff, because that would be ridiculous. What I will tell you is I saw things from Anthony Lynn's coaching staff, particularly from Gus Bradley's defense last week, that makes me think they are coaching at a high level. And all of this, I mean, I'm not smart or well-informed enough to know for sure what coaching adjustments are whose responsibility or who's in charge or any of that. I'm just saying, watching them philosophically dismantle the Ravens last week gave me a lot of confidence with the way they'll be able to play going into this week. Now, on the other hand, they let the Ravens back in the game late. Philip Rivers did not play especially well. I look at that as the fact that the Ravens are pretty good, especially on defense. And I was just very impressed with the way they adjusted to and ultimately stopped the wildly effective Ravens run game that had beaten them up just a couple weeks previous. That to me shows you're making good adjustments. That to me says you're going to be ready for a Pats offense that's been less than impressive this year. Ready for a Tom Brady who... This is interesting because obviously there's been plenty of talk about Tom Brady not being as good this year as he has the past few, which is not saying a lot, to be honest. He's still pretty darn good, but his worst touchdown to interception ratio year since 2013, his worst winning percentage year since... Boy, for that, you got to go all the way back to 2009. And there's been some discussion about the offensive line being degraded and letting him down a little bit. And what's interesting is he has not been sacked more this year than years past. In fact, he was sacked darn near twice as much last year when he was unbelievable. As this year. And I just wonder if we're finally seeing age on Tom Brady, perhaps. Now, again, I'm not ruling out that this is all an elaborate game of chicken and Tom Brady's been sort of taking it easy. Rob Gronkowski is actually in perfect physical condition and we're all going to kick ourselves for ever thinking the Patriots might be starting to fall apart, but he is 41. I mean, Tom Brady is a 41-year-old man. And I'm sure plenty of you out there are that age or older. I'll tell you, he's very close to exactly 4 years older than me. And I can't imagine. I know he's got the TB12 and all that stuff, but goodness gracious, to be playing the sport of football, of all things, at 41. I just feel like if a Chargers defense that has a formidable pass rush can hit that 41-year-old man a few times, maybe that Brady Belichick playoff magic doesn't ever show up. That's why I'm taking the Chargers. Jumping over to the NFC, where I have the favorites. And look, I'm not breaking any exciting ground by picking AFC underdogs and NFC favorites. The NFC favorites are bigger favorites. But let's look at Dallas Rams first. And to me, the fundamental question for that game is, which of these two young quarterbacks do you have more trust in right now? I mean, if I'm honest, I probably think the Dallas defense is a little better than the Rams defense is, but I'm not totally convinced of that. I think they're pretty close. The LA defense, more talented, I think I'd say. But if you look at the DVOA rankings, they're relatively close. Dallas finished the season at 11, Rams at 15, but the gap between them is pretty small. Dallas has a better rush defense and a worse pass defense than the Rams do. The thing about this is, I look at these teams, they're relatively similar from a talent level perspective. I'm not saying they play the same way. They play very differently, especially offensively. But in terms of how good they can be and where their talent lies, they look pretty similar to me. You've got a young quarterback, a stud running back, a diverse group of wide receivers, at least one of whom routinely is making big plays in big spots. And with the Rams, it's a little more evenly spread out now that Cooper Kupp is gone. With Dallas, it's pretty much Amari Cooper when they need a big one. Although Jarwin, the tight end, has made some plays too. And then you've got a pretty stout defense that has played better as the season's gone on. And the big question mark for both games is, do you trust the quarterback? And a year ago, heck, 4 5 weeks ago, this was a no-brainer. Jared Goff has come into his own. Jared Goff looks like a stud. You understand why he was the number one overall pick. He's making it happen. And he's got a tremendous offensive coach. And on the other side, you've got a fourth-round pick in Dak, less arm talent, and less of a coach. I'm not sure you feel that way after the last 5 weeks, because since Amari Cooper got there, Dak looks an awful lot better. An awful lot better. And Jason Garrett's figured out a way to get it done. And it's not that Sean McVay is any less creative or exceptional, but Jared Goff seems to be. And we could say it's just the defenses they're playing. We could say it's losing talent around him. Todd Gurley missed some games, etc. But Jared Goff has not been the same. Jared Goff has been disappointing. We watched him play against the Niners and the Bears. I did anyway. And he hasn't played well. So it's interesting. Do you trust more in the quarterback making his second playoff appearance and second consecutive year, who has the highest highs between the two guys? At his best, Jared Goff has been exceptional this year. Or do you like the hot hand? Dak Prescott, who playing better lately, seems to be finding himself somewhat. Personally, I'll take the home team with the quarterback who's done it more and the coach who I trust more. But it's closer than it would have been if I had given you this matchup 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. It's a lot closer now, in my mind. A lot closer. And the last game, Eagles at Saints. I save this for last because my fundamental question here is just, do you believe in magic? Because if you do, something's going on with Nick Foles, man. There's something going on. He seems to energize this team in a way. Because, look, I watch Carson Wentz. I watch Nick Foles. It's very clear to me Carson Wentz is the more capable, more talented, better quarterback. But somehow the team looks better when Nick Foles is playing. I don't know what to make of that. I don't know how to explain that. Other than good chemistry and a lot of love in the room, which is positive, but I wouldn't think it would totally fundamentally change the team the way it has. And to be fair, they were not that great last week. The Bears blew it. So if you believe in magic, you could take the Eagles. If you don't, the Saints outclass them in every single way. So that to me is the one. I try not to believe in magic. When I have other ways to explain things, I try not to believe in magic. So I'm Saints all the way there. And that's the one game that I think could be a blowout. I really think there's a chance the Saints just at home, first playoff appearance in a bit. They weren't in last year, were they? That would sound real dumb if they were. And I can't even remember. But a big resurgence. Oh, no, they were in last year. They had the... Of course they were in. They lost the Minnesota Miracle. Second straight playoff appearance, but it had been a while before that. And we came into this year talking about the Saints' Super Bowl chances, and they've pretty much been one of the top three teams in football wire to wire. Hall of Fame quarterback, great offensive football coach, talented improving defense. They're just the better team by a long shot. And if they don't win, something goofy happens. And that is the NFL divisional round playoff weekend for you, in a nutshell. Still time to get your pop quiz answers in.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
It's a very easy thing to do. All you have to do is send us the winners. 4 games, 4 winners, 4 pop quiz questions. 925 Texter, are the Rams the home team? I think you're going to find a sold-out Rose Bowl with more Cowboy fans than Ram fans. It's possible. That's possible. But it's still where they've played all year. I don't know if there's a huge home field advantage, but it's better than being in Dallas, right? So there's an advantage in that respect. I'm going to shift over to the other big news of the week coming up next. I've been very excited all season, but since the announcement of January 18th as the Boogie return date, I've been even more excited. And now I have a whole bunch of sound. Boogie talked, Steve Kerr talked. We'll get into the Boogie thing coming up next. I'm Matt Golsky. This is the
Boogie
Show.
We've got another huge football weekend on 95.7 The Game. It starts with Patrick Mahomes' first playoff game as the Chiefs battle the Colts. Coverage starts tomorrow at 1. Followed by Cowboys-Rams at 5.
Todd Gurley, touchdown!
And we've got Sunday morning football with Chargers-Patriots. Coverage starts at 9:30, all on the exclusive home of the NFL playoffs, 95.7. The Game. Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Kolsky.
We are back on the pregame show presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar. It's a coffee meet and greet with product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for details and dates and more information. GoldenStateLumber.com. GoldenStateLumber.com. Of course, the texter before the break said sold out Rose Bowl, and another texter, always good to have the corrections department weigh in. They play at the Coliseum, not the Rose Bowl. And, of course, that's correct. That is my mistake for failing to vet the earlier text. Chilton Auto Body text line is 95795. The phone number, 888-957-9570. And we are probably exactly 1 week away from
Boogie!
Woo!
Get your boogie on.
Oh, yeah.
Bang, bang, boogie, say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat.
I'm excited. Can you tell? Can you tell I'm excited? We got the news this week that they are targeting January 18th. Although Steve Kerr yesterday talking about it, he sort of said, well, you never know.
The idea is we have to give ourselves a little leeway. I mean, that Clipper game is sort of the one we've targeted. We should give ourselves some leeway on either side because we have to see how the next week goes. So I suppose it's a possibility that it could be New Orleans. Maybe there's a possibility that it's whoever's after the Clippers. I don't even know who we play them, but thank you. So something, that's the range that we're looking at.
Interesting. Could be the Pelicans on Wednesday? I don't think that's real. I don't think there's any scenario under which they would play him against the Pelicans. I just don't. I don't think you want to do that. Why would you do that? Extra pressure, extra defensive assignment. Why would you do it? I wouldn't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't think they're doing it. So I expect he'll be back a week from today in LA against the Clippers. Give him, as we discussed when we originally got the news, give him a nice, soft landing. Nice, soft landing in terms of the big men he's facing. Clippers, Lakers, Wizards, Boston, Indiana. That five-game road trip that he it would be his first five games in a Warrior uniform. And I know Ivica Zubac tore up the Warriors a couple weeks ago, and Montrezl Harrell has given you trouble too, and Al Horford's a good player, but those are not the bigs you're afraid of in terms of DeMarcus Cousins' defensive ability. If you're trying to ease him back into it from a conditioning and, you know, physicality standpoint, that's fine. We're fine with that. I don't want to bring him back against Anthony Davis. It just seems, it seems unnecessary. It seems like setting him up for a fall for no reason. As much as I'm sure he wants to be on the floor for that game, I wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it, not going to do it, can't win with it. That's how I would look at that particular issue. 650 texter asking, when Boogie comes back, who gets cut? Nobody. They got an open roster spot, so nothing to worry about there. Nobody gets cut. If the question is who would not be on the active roster, I am guessing that if there's an odd man out, it's Jordan Bell. But I'm not sure about that either. And honestly, there have been so many injuries, I'm not totally sure how the math on that works out. It may be that there's not even, you know, with Damian Lee back in the G League, it may not even be an issue. 408 wants another Boogie reference, but Boogie Nights by Heatwave. I'm not doing Boogie Nights. Boogie Nights? No, I'm not doing it. It's too down the middle. Now, I realize the Sugar Hill Gang is also pretty played, but I love the Sugar Hill Gang. I have no special love for Boogie Nights by Heatwave. That's just me. That's just me. But if we're looking at this Boogie thing, we're trying to figure out, all right, are we sure he's healthy? And how's this going to work from a fit and feel perspective? Because we see all the time in the NBA, you don't have to look any further than Jimmy Butler in Philly, getting better doesn't always mean you get better. Let me explain that. Adding talent doesn't always go perfectly smoothly. And certainly the Warriors roster talent improves when DeMarcus Cousins returns. I expect the Warriors to improve pretty quickly. I do think there will be an adjustment period. I don't think it's the kind of adjustment period where you see the team struggle. So I don't expect too much, but those are the questions. How do we know it's the right time to bring him back? How do we know he's ready? And then how do we know when it is going to work? And Steve Kerr addressed a lot of this yesterday with Damon. We'll get to DeMarcus talking at practice as well. But the first thing is, what was this delay really about? How did you finally decide, all right, it's time?
Well, he just looked like he had his conditioning where it needed to be. He's been scrimmaging for the last month or so. And I would say the first 3 weeks, you know, I didn't see the level of conditioning that it was going to take to play in an NBA game. And then over the last week or so, he's just been sprinting the floor and getting up and down and looking much more like himself. And you could tell that he had reached a different level. And so I think we're ready to put him out there and, you know, see what happens right away. At some point, you got to do it. You got to put him out there and work through the inevitable kinks and try to iron everything out and go forward. So it's exciting.
So two things. First of all, at some point, you just got to do it. And that's right. You can talk about what you're looking for, what you need to see before he gets out there, et cetera, et cetera. But at some point, if the doctors say he's not going to hurt himself again, you just got to put him out there. What actually happens on the floor during live NBA action is not, you can't necessarily prepare entirely for that or understand exactly what that's going to look like just by practicing. He's just got to get out there at a certain point, and I think it was time. And I think the one thing Kerr didn't address there is that Boogie has felt ready for a while. But the other part, obviously, is conditioning. And I think some people don't want to believe that that makes sense, right? He's a professional athlete. His whole job has been rehabbing. Why would he not be conditioned? Why would he not have his wind back? And I think it's just, there's a misunderstanding of what's physically possible. If anyone who's ever played a sport and injured a leg, especially lower leg, ankles, Achilles, calves, stuff like that. In other words, when you can't run during your rehab, keeping your physical level of conditioning at the NBA basketball level is just impossible. You cannot physically do it. And he could be on bikes and in tubs and doing all the things he's told to do. But simple fact, if you cannot run, you cannot stay in NBA basketball condition. You can't. And then as you start to get back into it, not only are you testing to make sure that that injured leg is fully healed, not only is there some apprehension. Like, I guarantee you the first time DeMarcus went to explode off of that Achilles, there was some fear. Or if not fear, there was some nerves. There's no way that there wasn't. And you got to work yourself through that to where exploding off of that leg is second nature like it was before the injury. And so between that and just the natural course of lost conditioning, it's much better they took this slow burn, and I think it will benefit Boogie that they took this slow burn, not just in the long term, but game one, I think it benefits him. And it avoids a situation where things get off, well, hopefully, avoids a situation where things get off to an uneasy start. You got to back him off. You know, he plays 20 minutes the first game, and then he's not feeling great afterwards. You really want to test out all the conditioning, the potential conditioning pitfalls as best you can before bringing a guy back from a layoff this long where he could not run. 925 texter. Even during Thanksgiving break when I played college basketball, having 3 days off felt like I had months off. Nonetheless, an injury is even worse. The texter says game shape is a real thing. It's a really real thing. And again, you can ride an exercise bike. You can swim. Even he's been running for a while. And all that stuff helps. All it gets you closer. But you just don't. You don't stay in game shape without doing games. It's that simple, and it's factual. This is not even really something that's debatable anymore. You can't do it. It can't be done. So even now, he's not in game shape. But I guarantee he's a lot closer than he was 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now, as far as actually fitting DeMarcus into this thing, as I've said, I'm just not worried about it. And another great thinker who happened to join, I said that about myself. Another great thinker by the name of Tough Juice, Caron Butler, joined Dame and Bruce yesterday to agree with me, and I will play his great thoughts coming up. But Steve Kerr addressed the chemistry issues as well, and the first thing he addressed is something that he has now addressed dozens of times, very straightforward and simply, yet continues to be asked, will DeMarcus Cousins start?
So a guy like that, you start just automatically putting the starting lineup. He's an all-star. He's been in this league for a long time. He's extremely talented. To begin with, we just throw him right out there for sure.
All right, great. So once he's out there, how do you figure out how to play with him?
That's our job. But you can draw everything you want up on a board, and it might look good, but it may not work. We've got lots of different ideas, ways we want to play him, sets we want to run, combinations we want to see. But inevitably, we have to see it, and it takes shape on its own as he gets comfortable and he gets into a groove.
And that, to me, God, Steve Kerr's so great. He's smart. He's a willing talker. Has great answers, thoughtful answers. And to me, not surprisingly, he really pinned the tail on the donkey there. He knocked that one out of the park. Because the issue is not designing offense to use DeMarcus Cousins, not coming up with ways DeMarcus Cousins can be useful on offense. That those are obvious. The issue is, not unlike the difference between practice shape and game shape, you don't know how it's going to work till you put it out there against live bullets competition and see. And you don't know how guys are actually going to respond to being used in the ways you're planning until they're out there in an actual game that counts playing. So this idea that there's a long adjustment period, or how are they going to figure this out? No, they've got 15 different figured out versions. The question is figuring out within the thinking of it. I believe they thought it every way from Sunday. But there's thinking it and then there's doing it. And the gap between those is the time to integrate DeMarcus Cousins. But Steve Kerr also got to something that I think is another reason you won't see him on Wednesday and you'll see him starting Friday on the road trip is the fact that road trips are team bonding.
It starts out in L.A., two games in L.A. with a couple of days off in between, and then we head east. So I think we're gone 13 days straight, so it's a long time to be away from home. But sometimes when you go on the road, you get a little better chance to bond. And with DeMarcus on the road, on the bus, on the plane, having team dinners, we'll all be together. I think it's actually pretty good timing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Road trips are when NBA players spend time with one another. I learned this, about 10 years ago. Because you think of like, oh man, you're on the road. There's so much to do. You're moving around, traveling. It must be hectic. But no, actually, they got a lot of downtime. And they're captive audiences, staying in the same hotels. And yeah, guys go out to different places, do different things, dine differently. But team planes, team buses, hotels, you're in the same place without a ton to do a lot, and team dinners on the road, all that sort of stuff that when you're home, especially for the older veterans, they got families, they got responsibilities, they got stuff they're doing at their home. And road trips are kind of a nice getaway for a lot of these guys and a chance to do that team building stuff that you might just have too much life going on at home to do. So I think, again, that's why this was the day, is the teams you're going to be playing, the fact that you've got the longest road trip of the second half, that sets Boogie up for the best possible scenario. This is why, although part of me thinks they've been fighting over the date and they just finally agreed on it, there's still a little part of me that feels like it's at least possible that they had circled January 18th before the season ever started. It's just kind of perfect. Now, as for Boogie, he's talked for a long time. Reporters asked him a lot of questions. The majority of what he said can be summed up by the first thing he said.
I'll just be glad to be back on the floor. I'm not really looking for a vengeance game or anything for headlines or anything like that. So I'll be glad to be back on the floor, playing a game that I love to play. I can care less who it is. I'll just be happy to be on the floor.
How many times in that 12-second soundbite did he say, I'll be happy to be on the floor? Like, if you weren't sure Boogie was excited just to get back into an NBA basketball game, let's just count. Let's count how many times he says he's happy or glad to be back on the floor in 12 seconds.
I'll just be glad to be back on the floor. I'm not really looking for a vengeance game or anything for headlines or anything like that. So I'll be glad to be back on the floor, playing a game that I love to play. I can care less who it is. I'll just be happy to be on the floor.
Three times happy to be on the floor plus the game that I love in 12 seconds. So every 3 seconds, basically. He has not enjoyed missing a year of basketball. That is very, very clear. Now, as for how this is going to work, he had a lot of thoughts on that. And again, this is, to me, quintessential DeMarcus Cousins stuff. It's both smart and thoughtful, but also a little annoyed at having to answer the media's stupid questions. Stupid questions like, well, I guess maybe you won't shoot as much here as you did in other places.
Well, it's obvious I won't be taking as many shots as I have in the past. And it's an adjustment for everybody. I believe that's pretty obvious.
It's obvious. All right. Well, if that's obvious, then who are we going to see? What is the Boogie we will now see?
Same person. You know, I play with a chip on my shoulder. I use different things as fuel to keep me moving forward, and I'm going to use the same things. I'm looking forward to, you know, proving myself.
It's that last part that jumps out to me. I'm looking forward to proving myself. And think about the way he's saying that. DeMarcus Cousins does not believe he has anything to prove in terms of who he has been as a player. I guarantee you that. And I agree with him. He doesn't have anything to prove. On the other hand, he's coming off a major injury that people were doubting his ability to return from. And he's playing a totally different role. And so that's what he means when he says, I have to prove myself. I plan to prove myself. He means prove I'm healthy and prove I can be a good teammate and fit in with a winner. And what do the Warriors need from DeMarcus Cousins? They need him to be healthy and to be a good teammate. And as long as he does those things, just the fact of him being out there is going to help the team. Even if he's not shooting it great, even if he's turning it over more than he used to, even if he's not as athletic as he was a year ago, as long as he is healthy and a good teammate, he improves the Golden State Warriors, period, end of story. And that's why I'm very, very excited.
Boogie!
All right, Steven, I ran us off the road nearly, but we have time for a very quick edition of Pick Up the Pieces.
We'll try to make it quick.
All right, let's go. It is time to pick up the pieces, the stories I missed while I was shouting about Boogie and playing Jalen Rose's soundbite over and over again. Now, you said we'll try to make it quick, Steve, and I should warn you, if we don't make it quick, I expect you to bear the brunt of the wrath of Jolo and Dibs when we're late.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right.
We'll go quickly.
All right.
Let's just give a shout-out to the Sarks really quick. They have won 7 of their last 8, and they've got 6 more to go before the All-Star break. So
yeah, we'll go deep. We'll go deep on the Sharks soon in the Steven Explains It All segment on the show. Probably sometime next week. Got to. Best team in hockey right now?
They're up there. They just beat the Knights, who are,
yeah.
I mean, but the Lightning are the clear-cut favorite right
now.
All right.
Top 3 teams in hockey right now?
I mean, we don't have time for that.
That's too much hockey talk. What's next?
So, Enes Kanter, obviously involved in some crazy deep stuff. But 2 days ago, he tweeted out a video on his Twitter page. And it was of him having a cheat day at a burger joint. And he had just 7 burgers placed in front of him.
7? Was it timed?
Yes, with triple pat. I don't think it was not timed.
But each of the 7 had triple patties?
I live a couple of them did.
Wow.
And then the next day, a New York Knicks columnist tweets out, Kanter was at practice, then left due to illness. They didn't specify what the illness was.
That is very funny. Although, I gotta say, if you're 26 years old, playing basketball every day, and rocking like 6'11", 260... maybe 7 burgers, I guess you could probably metabolize that pretty quick.
It's nothing.
It's nothing to you.
I could do that, and I'm 5'10", a buck 50. I could do that.
Well, and I got to tell you, people forget, as recently as 15 years ago, half the locker room was bringing McDonald's for their pregame meal. So, you know, let's not overreact.
You got that legendary picture of Joe Montana drinking a beer at halftime and smoking a cigarette. Anyway, Nick Young, he's named a suspect in an alleged robbery.
Oh, no.
He stole someone's phone who was taking a picture of him at a car wash, and he ended up punching them in the testicles. That's according to TMZ.
Nick Young ended up punching someone else. You know what? I feel like if you're a celebrity and someone has their phone out and is taking your picture without asking from a close enough distance for you to snatch it, you should be allowed legally to snatch that phone. That's how I would handle that one. Jolo and Dibs coming up. Charlie Ward. Then LaDainian Tomlinson at 8. Gary St. Jean, 8:30. Tim Roy, 9:30. Papa and Bonte will have James Jones at 1 and Will Perdue at 1:30. And John Morosi talking baseball at 4, plus B.J. Armstrong with Damon today. The great B.J. Armstrong.
Tim
Chicago
Tebow's
Bulls
getting
champion.
Married. Jed Lowry's a Met.
Stop it.